everyone. Welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. I'm your host, Chelsea Pites. Thank you for returning. If you are a subscriber, if this is your first time here, please consider subscribing if you're interested in real estate and social media and how to create engaging content that builds your brand and business and, of course, generate more organic leads. I'd love to connect with you on all the socials, especially Instagram. You can find me by my name at chelsea.pites. That's P-E-I-T-Z. And in today's show, I am interviewing realtor and mentor to many other realtors, Stephanie Lugo. She is part of a husband and wife team, the Lugos, in Phoenix, Arizona, and she is very passionate about creating authentic content through Instagram, and she's going to be sharing her best tips and tricks for that today, and specifically how to convert the leads that you are getting organically from Instagram. So let's get into the show. Stephanie, welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. So excited to have you. I have guested on your podcast. You were kind enough to invite me, so I'm returning the favor and excited to have you on to talk all things real estate marketing, branding, and conversion today, which I think is the most forgotten piece of all of the social media thing. So for those people who may not know you yet, please tell us who you are and what you do for the real estate industry.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to join you. My name is Stephanie Lugo, for those who haven't met me. And my husband and I run what we like to call a small but mighty team here in the Scottsdale area. And we have been in the business for about 6 years now after getting in from quitting our corporate finance gigs back in 2014. And when we got into the business, we had no clue what we were doing. We thought that we could do it better and that we were going to get into real estate and crush it. And we kind of did crush it, but only after realizing that we knew nothing and had to completely start from scratch in the business. But within that first year, we were able to completely replace our corporate 9-to-5s and build a 6-figure business. And we've been lucky enough to grow every year since. But that first year has always really stuck with me. It's so hard getting started in this industry. And, you know, coming from a corporate 9-to-5 environment, I wasn't prepared for the loneliness, you know, the just the lack of guidance that there is in this industry in general. And I think that really contributes to why there's such a high fallout rate. So it has been a passion of mine as we've continued to grow to kind of give back to the industry and be able to provide just some guidance and some direction to our colleagues, because, you know, I love being a real estate agent and I would love for this industry to continue rising, but we have to do it together. So today, fast forward 6 years later, we're still producing real estate. We are working in the Scottsdale area still. And a big part of what I like to do on the side is mentoring other agents in the industry and teaching them just some ways that they can quickly make their mark on their markets, build their authority, and scale their business from there.
I like the word quickly. I think that's what we'll focus on today. And so talk about, like, how do you get, you know, agents up and running that maybe they haven't really been using social media as much as they, you know, have this year. And they realize, oh my goodness, I really need to create my brand in a very noisy marketplace. So what are your best tips for somebody who perhaps hasn't really created their impact or the impact they want to make or envision with social media, and to your point, quickly, because we want to get up and running and make the money, especially if you have somebody that's leaving an industry like you did, which I did as well. I left a certain industry before I came into real estate, and it's kind of scary because you're not getting a paycheck every 2 weeks like you used to. So talk about some of your strategies for that.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think that if you're looking to quickly make your mark, social media has to be a part of that. You know, when we look at real estate as a whole, the one thing that has always been true is real estate is built on real people and real relationships. And social media doesn't change that. I like to say social media amplifies that. And so really understanding that we can use that to leverage our voice to reach more people at scale. And if we think about scale, right, scaling means to increase the results that we're seeing without more output. So with less work or the same amount of work. And really understanding that by being very specific in the way we use social media, we can carry a message across these platforms in order to reach the exact people that we normally might be getting referred to or might be meeting at open houses, but we can reach them way earlier in the sales process before they have a chance to speak to other real estate agents who otherwise would intercept that lead from us. So I think that, you know, in real estate, even if you're brand new, the first thing you want to do is establish yourself on these platforms so that you do have a credible foundation on which to build your business.
Okay. So what if I am nervous about oversaturating my audience on my personal profiles? Because we know, we've talked in the show a lot about algorithms and how the machine works. And we know that on Facebook, for instance, business pages are not going to get as much reach as a personal profile. Now, Instagram is a little bit different because it's just one account, but we still also don't want to just all of a sudden go from being a human being posting content to only posting something that has to do with real estate. So what are your tips for somebody who's like, I am with you. I get it. I need to establish myself. But is the best way to establish themselves by just pummeling every open house just listed picture that they can find and post it on their personal Facebook profile?
So one of my favorite ways to look at this is just to remember that, you know, A, there's enough business to go around for everybody. So we're not going into this thinking that we're going to take over the entire geographical area that you might service. You might be in competition with 10,000 other real estate agents in your area. That's how it is in my markets. And so the idea is never to show up to put your flag in the ground as like the newest top producing agent and the one and only go-to agent. You want to be able to build meaningful connections. And the way that you do that on social media is you bring people into your story and into your journey. And so as a newer real estate agent, for me, looking back, I was so afraid to share people the struggles and really share exactly how difficult it was. You know, the crying on the bathroom floor moments of starting a new business. I was so afraid to show that because I thought I had to be this polished professional. But the more I understood that the more you bring in people and allow them to be a part of that journey of growth, the more they're going to buy in and want to support you. And so it is okay when I mentor my agents, I'm telling them like, bring in the story, even if it feels scary to share moments where you were not as confident or not as on top of it, bring people in so that they can see the trajectory of your growth and actually have a reason to root for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that in that way, your brand is more relevant over time. Anyways, you have that relevance that's going to span somebody's attention, whether they're looking to buy right now or whether they're looking to buy 12 months from now.
So I might be incorrect in quoting this stat from you, but I thought on one of your Instagram stories, you might have said that I think close to 100% of your business is coming from social media. Is that correct? Am I way off on the number?
No, you're way off.
The majority of the business you have is like coming from people connecting with you on social media and obviously referrals. Like, but I mean, as far as like, are you out there advertising or sending, you know, what mailers, or are you getting the majority of your sort of like leads digitally from social media?
So I am a big believer in transparency. So I'll give you all the numbers. We're going to close around 40 to 45% of our business from Instagram this year.
Oh, wow. That's a big number. That's awesome.
It's a little more than I like. I'm not one of these people who wants to say, I got 100% of my business from XYZ. Mm-hmm. I am not that person. I believe in a more diversified lead structure. So, however, we have done really well on Instagram this year. We will close upwards of 200K GCI from Instagram alone, which is very exciting.
And is all that organic leads or organic? Is that a mixture of promoted posts and organic?
I do boost posts, yes. Here and there. However, it's not something that I rely on. And I don't think that it is something that's going to transformatively change the way I generate leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay. So 45% is from Instagram. And mm-hmm. And that's just from Instagram, or do you, I know Instagram is your favorite place, as it is mine too, but are you also generating leads through Facebook as well?
Just Instagram. My okay. poor Facebook page is a ghost town.
Tumbleweeds blowing through there, huh? No. Okay. So and then the rest is pretty much, there's that like primarily referral through past customers and your sphere of influence.
Yep. Database referral, out of town referrals, like from our agent network. And then the other part of it, I suppose we began some ad spend this year with mm-hmm. Google PPC, mm-hmm. And then sign calls, just, you know, whatever right. else is kind of right. sprinkled in there.
Now, what is the kind of content that people are 45% of your business is coming from Instagram? Are these people that are direct messaging you? Are these people that you know that are following you? Are these new followers? What is the makeup of it? Like, what is the thing that's making these people say, oh my gosh, I need to hire you as my agent on Instagram?
Yeah, so it's a good question. We, you know, let's see, how's the best way to answer this? I've been growing my Instagram for about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. So there's a mix of people. You know, I had a buy sell this year, a client who sold and bought, and they had been following us since 2017. Mm-hmm. And all told, I was like a over 20K commission. And then I had people who literally reached out to us to buy this year because they had friends who followed us and said that they had to reach out to us and they hadn't previously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they hadn't previously followed us, but they were introduced to our brand through somebody who did. And so I think that's really what a lot of agents kind of lose sight of, is how many ways you can leverage that presence on social media to get in front of more opportunities.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I do have quite a few people who I'm connected with on the gram. And it's funny because now it's not just real estate. I mean, obviously, you know, that is my only niche that I ever talk about. But because I have realtors that I'm connected with that have friends outside of the industry that are in a variety of different other industries, they say, oh my gosh, you should connect with Chelsea. And they'll say, oh, so-and-so sent me. And so you're right. I mean, you just never know. And I think that's exactly the problem, is that we forget that we only think in terms of like very linear. These are the people that I know. These are the people that I have worked with in the past. So these are the people that are going to refer me. But there are so many other people that, you know, may not necessarily be following you, but could through a variety of different avenues within Instagram. So I like that point a lot.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So is your favorite sweet spot in the gram, and what you help coach your and mentor your agents on, are you focusing primarily on content in the original traditional feed? So kind of like the photos and the written content with the captions. Are you really heavily promoting stories? Are you a fan of reels? What's sort of your favorite component of Instagram, and how are you leveraging that to build your own business?
I think every facet of the platform has its function. I guess if you were to really break it down, I'm spending about 80% of my time in the stories. Mm-hmm. And then all the other energy I have goes to creating what I like to call a gallery on my feed and in reels. I am really interested in reels right now. I don't have as much time and energy to dedicate to it as I have, but I probably create one or two a week.
Well, and you know, you have a human that you're taking care of, a new human you've introduced to the world, and you know, you're working full time managing a business. So, you know, I'd say that's probably why.
Yeah. I mean, my goal is to spend less than 30 minutes a day on yeah. Instagram when we're talking about strategic real estate moves. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, I'll be scrolling on the feed when I have time. But right. if we're talking about actual work, like I need it to be less than 30 minutes a day, and I count that as prospecting activity.
You post a lot though in the feed. So it's interesting when you say that you spend 80% of your focus on stories, and I see you very active in the feed. That must be a really big amount of time in my mind, because I'm like, wow, because you post pretty much every day in the feed, don't you? Or is it every other day? I pretty much see you every day.
I was for a long time, I was that person that said, you have to be posting to the feed every day. And I still believe that if you're just building your business, like if you're just starting out, you need to have a portfolio of great content that people can go and see if they get referred to you. Mm-hmm. So, but now I've, I, like you said, I have a 5-month-old. It's, you know, it's a little harder these days. My hair doesn't get done as often.
What do you mean? You have all new content now because you have a 5-month-old. That's not a new, no, you should be posting twice a day. No, I'm just kidding.
I know that's why half my feed is him and not me.
I know. Well, that's why I always tell people everybody loves babies and dogs. So find one and post a lot about that. That's awesome. Okay. So let's talk about the conversion part. So it's all well and good. We get the message. We're going to do stories. We're going to share behind the scenes. We're going to document, not create, all the things that we talk about all the time on the show. Mm-hmm. And then what happens, you know, is it as cut and dry as somebody saying, hey, I got referred to you by so-and-so, and then they ask you for a meeting? Or are you talking about sort of the subtle conversion steps too, where maybe you just get into conversations with people in the DMs and maybe it's not directly like right away, oh, I'm ready to buy or sell. So what is your process taking someone from social media and sort of nurturing them and getting them to the ready to buy or sell phase?
Yeah, from my experience, you're going to have two kinds of leads. You will have the kind of lead that will, in a direct message conversation, say, hey, by the way, I'm looking to buy this year. And then you can convert them off of the app from there. You have the other lead who is the quiet lurker. They're not quite ready to reach out. They don't want to tell you that they're thinking about buying or selling, but they're going to explore the link in your bio. They're going to check out your website and they're going to see what offers you have in order to take it to the next level. And that is when we're getting like the cold email or the registration on our home search page. And I'm getting notified that somebody came in to our website off of Instagram.
Okay. So how do you make sure that you can track that then? Cause I know there's a lot of agents listening right now. They're like, oh my gosh, you can track where people came from Instagram. So how are you doing that?
One of the areas that I'd consider myself an expert in is exactly this, tracking and sourcing leads and monitoring like where they're coming in. And you don't have to be like a crazy geek like I am when it comes to this. You should have a CRM in place, whether like it's anything crazy or not, like pay the $50 a month to have a CRM in place and spend a week figuring out what functions within that CRM are available to you to where you can actually make sure that you are using it to the best of its ability, tagging leads when they come in. For example, I use Follow Up Boss. Any lead that comes in from any lead source we have, whether they're just a direct inquiry from Google or coming in off of our Yelp page or whatever, coming in from Instagram, they're going to be tagged and sourced. And that's a very simple function to figure out on your CRM, but it is absolutely necessary to have when you get those cold outreaches so that you can actually monitor your metrics correctly. Does that make sense?
It is. Yes. So let me just clarify. So, and this may not be every CRM, but a large amount of CRMs, I would assume, have this sort of functionality. And you can go into the settings and you can kind of turn on whether it's tagging or where did this come from. Is the CRM itself able to identify the location of the origination website, i.e. coming from Instagram, or are you setting up some sort of questionnaire per se that says something like, where did you find this? And what level is it? Is it automated or are you setting up some like questionnaire?
Mine is both. So when mine comes in, when I know the route that I have set up for my Instagram. So usually it looks something like this. They're coming in and they're searching for homes through my home search site. That is something that I've had set up for like our entire career. And I think it's really nice to have that offering for people who want to see what listings you're talking about. From there, if they register, Follow Up Boss is going to add a tag that it is an organic lead. And from there, I know that they probably came in from Instagram because those organic leads can only come in from Instagram because of the way I have the funnel set up.
Where you have it set up in the back end. So you're correct. Basically saying, you know, here's the link to my Instagram. When they click it, you know, here's where you take them essentially. So exactly. That makes sense. So, and another way I think you could probably do it is, you know, if you had multiple landing pages, if you're sending them to a specific landing page, then you would know, oh, that's the one that I have connected to my link in my bio. So, okay.
Precisely. And you can do the exact same thing with something like MailChimp and creating a landing page for a quick like buyer guide, little PDF how-to that somebody can enter in their email. And you know that anytime somebody is coming in to get that, they're probably coming in from wherever you're sharing it, which should be Instagram. Mm-hmm.
And then do you take it a step farther and then go and reverse stalk them? Like if they give you their first and last name, are you like, let me go to Instagram and take a look at them. Are they following me?
Absolutely. And that's a really important part of making sure that they're an ideal client, that they're the kind of person that I'm trying to actively attract to my brand. Because when they do fit that avatar that I've kind of determined that's right for us, then I know exactly how to approach it and it's going to increase my conversion.
Okay. So I love that. So the process is the link that you have in your bio is important, where it goes and being able to track it from Instagram, and then going, taking the information that you are collecting and going back into the gram and, you know, lurking, stalking and talking, that sort of thing. I love that. So, what are your other conversion tips that you have?
So it never stops at the offer. So if your offer is, hey, let's look at some homes on my free home search site, or download my buyer guide, or get your valuation for your home, whatever.
By the way, what has been your best lead magnet? Because those are all good lead magnets. What's the one that you have seen get the most clicks?
Man, that's a good question. Home search. For yeah. Sure. Buyers and sellers, they all start with the home search.
Okay. All right. So tried and true, home search is probably the number one, you know, call to action. So, okay. So it's not going to stop at the first offer. They get their guide or their whatever they're getting. And now you've stalked them on Instagram. And then what happens?
We're setting a consultation right away. And this is where a lot of real estate agents kind of miss the mark, I think. I think that they hear something like, oh yeah, I'm getting ready to buy in 6 months when my lease is up. That to me is my bread and butter, because I can convert a lead whether they're ready to go in 90 days or 18 months. That's one of my superpowers. And I'm never going to throw that away, because I know that I want to be in business 18 months from now. So I'm going to make sure that I stay in touch with them. Mm-hmm. So from there, we're setting the consultation, whether they're a buyer or seller. We're usually doing it over Zoom. Even pre-pandemic days, we were doing mm-hmm. that. And then we're, you know, firing up our automated campaign to follow up with them. And that honestly is just a series of task reminders to touch base. Mm-hmm. And then just moving them down the sales funnel.
So let's talk a little bit about some of your hidden gems or nuggets in your buyer and or seller presentation. And this might be the first time I've ever even asked someone this on my show. And so this is, you know, going to be a new era of me asking this question, but I'm curious the reason I'm asking you this is because you have such a unique perspective, and that's why I really enjoy listening to you and all of your tips. And so I'm curious, you know, what you might have that's a little bit out of the box that perhaps people listening could learn from, that maybe when you are having those virtual consultations, what are some tips that you give your mentees that you are training on? Here's what you want to do to make sure you're really converting this and they're really going to be sticking with you.
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked me, because this is really important. I think that a lot of agents get really nervous when they talk about buyer or seller consultations. And so the secret is, you don't exist, and take yourself out of the equation. This is not a time to sell yourself. Okay. This is a time to be the scientist and the researcher. So really when we open this consultation or this discussion, we're saying, hey, so tell me the story. Tell me your home search journey, or tell me your journey to becoming a homeowner in Scottsdale. And then you stop talking and you let them tell you everything. You will learn so much about the right way to close that deal if you just stop trying to sell yourself and focus on how to serve them.
Ah, I love that. That was a good tip. I'm glad I asked that question. Okay. So you've got your touch points, your tasks you mentioned, and are these tasks that are coming, these are notifications coming to you where you reach out to them, or is it something that they're going to also receive? What does it look like maybe on my end if I'm the consumer, I'm the person that we've had the consultation, and then I'm sort of on like a drip system? What might I receive?
Yeah. So we leave that consultation with a timeline, and we have an understanding of like the plan, right? Mm-hmm. We have like an idea of where we're going. From there, I'm following you on Instagram, and I'm going to very genuinely, authentically, because I'm cool like that. I'm going to like all your posts. I'm going to show up and just remind you that I'm there without being salesy spammy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to remember and set up my follow-up campaign to reach out at specific intervals of time, depending on how far out that lead is from transacting. And this can be anywhere from every week if they're ready to go right away to like every 45 days. Mm-hmm. I have a specific cadence that I follow from there and things that I'm saying, and then I'm always leaving with like the next step.
Right. And then how are you connecting with them? I guess it depends on how they want to be connected with. I'm assuming that's, you know, or do you have like a, you only direct message people, or you text message, or you call, or what is sort of your go-to form of communication?
I'm a big fan of communicating off of Instagram. Once I've converted that lead and they're in my sales funnel, we're no longer discussing real estate business in Instagram. That's not a platform that I can control. So we're talking over text and phone calls and like in-person touch points when they need like a meetup or if we're previewing homes.
Nice. I love it. Oh, those were great tips. So let's talk about, I think you've done a really, really great job with your captions in your posts. And I fully admit that is my least favorite part of any kind of social media. I personally don't believe that I am a gifted writer. And this is coming from somebody who's written books. Like, I feel like it is a struggle and it's not something that comes naturally to me. And when I see people like yourself, and I think, oh my gosh, wow, what a talent to be able to just like have these really great, you know, captions where you can storytell and connect with people. And I know that if it's hard for me, it must be hard for the everyday agent who's not in social media like you and I are, and that's like our business. So what are some tips that you have that you can help agents understand what they need to be doing to create more savable and searchable content that's going to hopefully get them into a direct message potential conversation to even get to that conversion process?
Well, first of all, I think you've fooled everybody because I think that you are a very captivating writer.
I fooled everybody then. You can see behind the scenes where I'm like, no, I don't want to write anything.
I think we all have those days. And I think the first step is to knowing that not every caption has to be chock full of sage advice, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes connection happens in like a funny one-liner or something.
Yeah, I agree. I think I know there's a lot of content pressure, and I think, you know, if I'm feeling it, other people have got to feel it. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, that content pressure is real, which I think why you and I love stories so much, because there's no pressure to make an amazing caption with a hook headline and a call to action and all the things that you're supposed to be putting in a caption. So So any tips that you have there that they should be thinking at and looking at? And yes, you know, relaxing first, realizing mm-hmm. you don't have to quote unquote hit a home run every single time. But what are some tips that you're seeing that are working really well for the people that are in your coaching group?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to being comfortable with your own voice, which that mm-hmm. takes time to develop, which is okay. But if you are speaking from your truth and you're speaking from a place of service, that is always going to take you further. And when I say speaking from a place of service, no one cares how many houses you sell. No one cares about your sales volume. Nobody cares about your open house. Like, I'm sorry, but that is not relevant to today's consumer. They don't understand why that matters. So when we're using those as reasons to shout to our audience, it's not landing because they don't even know why it matters in the first place. And mm-hmm. honestly, like saying that your listing is under contract, most sellers don't even understand that term anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's one
good
thing.
Point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the other point is really understanding the clients that you're trying to attract and understanding where their struggles and pains are and speaking to that and building out solutions. So one of the easiest things that you can do is think about a really good question that one of your clients asked you this week and pose the question, give the solution, and that is your caption. It's going to land really well. It's going to come from a place of service and it's going to be authentic because you had the authority to walk somebody through that already.
Yeah. And that's, I know where most of our content comes from. It's questions that we've gotten that we're going to write about, because if one person has that question, probably a lot of people might have that question too. Okay. So, you know, I love stories. You love stories. So what are your favorite, you know, story tips that you think people are missing the mark on?
I think people need to put their face in the stories. I don't understand this hesitancy of like the fear. And I think that that's the superpower of stories is like the what happens physiologically when you're showing up, or psychologically, I guess, when you're showing up on a camera in front of somebody else, like that is deepening a relationship on a biological level with somebody. And you're doing it at scale. You can have hundreds of people looking at that one story.
And I love your stories because you have so much text. I almost exclusively watch your stories with no sound on. Yeah. And I love that I can still understand what you're talking about because you put a lot of text in your stories. So I love that you do that. And so I think that's really smart. Mm-hmm. Any favorite apps that you like? It doesn't have to be Instagram related, but I'm always curious, like what kind of favorite apps people are using at the moment, or if you have any like little secret hidden gems that you think people should know about.
I really like Mojo for stories. Have you used Mojo?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I've not heard of this. Mojo, this is the first time
I've seen
80 episodes that somebody has given me an app that I don't know about. Hold on, I'm literally going to my app store right now. What is Mojo?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Are you being serious right now? Am I actually sharing something of value with Chelsea Heights herself?
I do not know this. I'm looking at it. So is it, what is it, just Mojo? Mojo Video?
Yeah, like they took my mojo. It's M-O-J-O. And
it's a story editor. What is this?
Animated templates that don't look cheesy.
I am literally double clicking to install right now.
It's a game changer. It really is. I probably get more questions on those than anything that I post.
That's true. I get, so here I am leaving all sorts of great marketing tips and somebody will say, how are you not using your hands to film this? And I'm like, ah. So I love that. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm literally opening it right now. And now, is this a freemium? It didn't say it would cost anything, but do you have to like upgrade if you want to pay for anything?
Or we have some basic freebies, but you know what? I'm buying that annual subscription. It's $40.
Yeah. It's so worth it. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I mean, I know that the listeners can't see my face right now, but I'm literally so excited. I'm like, oh my God, they have like a text message one with like the text bubbles. Oh,
just
my
wait.
Gosh. I'm getting hot right now. I'm like starting to sweat. I'm so excited. You know, I want to be talking about this in my story too. And in fact, I'm going to need to like screen record this thing on my phone right now. So Mojo, M-O-J-O, just like, Yamoto. That's awesome. So cool. Thank you for sharing that. I am super excited to dive in and try that. And of course,
you're going to love it.
Tell everybody that you told me about it. So yes, that's really cool. All right. So I don't think you can wow me after that, but what else? What else have you got for us that you use on a regular basis?
That's probably the most important one. The other one I'm using is Unfold, and that is like the same thing, but without animations, and the free version has a lot more to offer. I'm just a really big fan of like simple, clean templates.
Same, same. Okay, well now, since you and I are talking about stories, you have good filters too. And I know you have some that I probably don't have or in my lineup. I mean, I don't know if you have your phone nearby, but I would love if you opened up your stories and like just gave me some of your favorite filters. So you have such a nice like aesthetic, and I almost feel like I'm watching, like, I don't know if you watch the Studio McGee on Netflix. I mean, I binge watch it like in 3 hours, which was terrible.
Ditto.
And I just feel like you have that vibe in your stories. Like, oh, I know this is your story. You know what I mean? Like if you weren't in it and I didn't see your name, I would know it was your story. So I think that's a really cool thing. And I think that's a really nice extension of your brand and who you are. So of course I have to know, like, what are your favorite filters?
Man, you're like speaking my love language. I feel so good about myself right now.
I'll be your hype woman.
So I am not a fan of those crazy animated, like the AI filters.
No, me neither.
I find them to be distracting, and especially since most people are watching stories without the video on, if I'm showing up with like a crazy little AI things popping up around my head, I feel like it just creates a chaotic experience.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just more of a purist, like just me and the camera and just talking.
Totally. So, I mean, my go-to is Settle by Instagram.
Ugh, the purple with the sparkle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Subtle. Okay.
I mean, it's always good. Face a window, get some good light, and you're great. And then the other one I'm really digging right now is Kira Kira Plus by Eula.Kors.
I know that one. Yeah. I know that one. So when I think of you, I don't know if you have this one. It's called Pink Mood, but let me just scroll over here. So this is called Pink Mood by Yovana. I think you would like that one.
Okay.
And this other one that I found recently is called Luminous, and it's by Paula. I don't know if I can pronounce her last name, but look for Luminous. So those two remind me of you. How funny when a filter reminds you of someone's brand, you're like, you should start using this filter. But that's just how things are happening in Instagram these days.
You remember when the AI filters came out and that small group of like Russian profilers or whatever ended up getting like millions of followers because you had to follow them to get their unique filter. Yes, do you remember that?
Right. You could have unique, yes, you could have unique filters where
you had to follow them to get it.
Yeah, I forgot. That
was going like a
Snapchat
to be,
thing, wasn't it?
I don't remember because I never did Snapchat, but that was going to be my big move. I was going to be like that girl that got all the followers by creating an AI filter. And then I was like, why? No, that's way too, that's no.
Well, you know, I was going to do like reverse shirts and then, you know, cause like the mirrored shirts, like when you're talking, you know, and then I was like, oh, I'm sure they're going to fix that one day. And they have pretty much just flip mirror your phone. But I was like, that's a great idea. Reverse shirts.
That's so funny.
Well, thank you so much. This was so, so much fun. And I want everybody, if they're not already, and I know I have a lot of listeners who are already following you, I do send your account out to everybody who says, I really need a good example of somebody who's actually in the biz, who has a great Instagram. So definitely, if you're listening, you need to follow Stephanie because she's got a great example of how to mix business and personal. So where can they find you and tell us about your coaching program?
Yeah, thank you for asking. You can find me on Instagram at Bryce and Stephanie, because remember, we're a husband and wife duo, but it's mostly Stephanie on the gram. So it's BryceandStephanie. I'm sure you'll link it below. And then for my mentorship, it's you can apply anytime. We do have it application only. And you can find details on that at marketsauthorityacademy.com.
Yay. So excited. Well, of course, you know, I'll always see you on the gram and I want to see that cute baby. So you can't possibly post him too much. Love the Halloween scene that you've done with him recently. So cute. I think I watched that little reel like 5 times at least. So if you saw like multiple views, that was me like replaying it.
That was a peak experience in my life, I will say.
He was meant to be a star on Instagram. So I'm excited. I really disappointed that you don't have an account for him yet, because I would follow it and just see all of his photos.
I do, but I'm a content hog. I need all the posts. I'm not sharing those photos.
Just cross post the same things. Yeah, absolutely not. Well, thanks again so much. And as always, a pleasure. And until next time, we'll see you then. Bye.
Thank you.